Well, good afternoon. It's Father Eli. It's Tuesday, and I am here recording. Good to be with you. It's been a couple days since I've done a podcast. Today, I thought I would talk about St. Anselm, because we haven't talked about any saints or anything in a long time. I talked about this a little bit in my homily, but I thought I would revisit him. So, St. Anselm, he was born in Italy, and later went to France. He wanted to join the Benedictine monastery down in Italy, but wasn't allowed. He was too young. I think he was age 15 when he wanted to join. After that, for a few years, he kind of lived a more worldly life. Often that happens in our lives too, right? We want to take a step in our faith and we're prevented for whatever reason. And sometimes in frustration, or maybe we think, well, I guess I tried, but I'm not really called to be a religious person or a person that follows God. And so we turn away. But sometimes it's just an opportunity for us to be able to have some more time to mature in our faith or mature in our lives. Sometimes even like the diocese, when they take on seminarians, sometimes they say, well, this guy needs a little bit more maturity before he enters the seminary or before we are ready to sponsor him. Or, sometimes it happens for religious sisters too. When they apply to a house of formation, they might be asked to take some time and work in the world or get an education or just take some time and try to grow in life experience. So sometimes it happens to the best of us. So St. Anselm had that for a while. Then he eventually did join a monastery in France, made some friends there, and eventually was named prior. And then later, I believe he was named abbot. My source of information is Butler's Lives of Saints. It's a collection of saints, and so I was reading that earlier. So anyway, he did become a monk in France, and then later he became the Archbishop of Canterbury. Now, I want to touch on something that he and others experienced during this time, the Middle Ages. So he was born in 1033, died 1109. So this is right in the middle of something called the Investiture Controversy. So what that was at the time, there were kings or leaders who were secular who wanted to appoint bishops. They wanted to be able to appoint bishops or abbots or religious leaders to different places, because that would give them a way to have power over those positions, and also it was a way to kind of reward people who they thought would support them. So this was a problem, because if that's how you set it up, you're not going to be getting the best candidates to be bishops or to be abbots or to be leaders in the church. Instead, you'll have people who are owing to the secular leader, which is a problem, because then if the secular leader does something that they're not supposed to, these bishops or these leaders are not going to say anything, or they're going to be kind of, their hands will be tied in a sense. So there's that problem there. And it exists even in our day sometimes, where if a priest or a nun or a religious leader, a bishop, whoever, kind of gets in the pocket of a rich person or a politically powerful person, if they kind of are in cahoots with them for whatever reason, that can create a problem, because now who are they beholden to, or who are they going to look to when it comes time to make decisions or things like that? They might not make the best decision for the church, or they might not speak the full truth when it comes to speaking about who God is or how we're meant to live as Catholics and so forth. So that's always a problem, has been a problem since the early days of the church. And St. Anselm had to face it in his time especially. So in his own time, when he was living out as a bishop in England, this was a huge deal. So the King of England, the first king, and then the second king later that he had to deal with as a bishop, were both men who wanted to have the power to name bishops or to withhold the income of those bishoprics, because back in the day, a bishop kind of had I don't know exactly the titles and everything, but they would be kind of like a prince of not just the church, but also of the secular world. So they would have lands and that sort of thing. So the kings often wanted to hold on to those things. So this was a problem. And wasn't resolved necessarily in that time, but Bishop Anselm, or St. Anselm, did fight against it and did kind of refuse to cooperate with those forces of the king trying to take over the different religious or ecclesiastical roles. So that's something that we can pray for in our own time, that we need men to be raised up as bishops who will be not just independent, but men who will be men of the church, will serve the church with love. They'll serve the church well, that they won't be selfish, so that they won't be trying to seek after political power or earthly power, but that everything that they do will be directed to their flock and caring for the flock of Christ. And so as we pray for our own bishop to be appointed, we pray that he would be a godly man, a man of great pastoral care, a man of learning. I mean, there's lots of things we can pray for, I guess, but we just pray that God grants us somebody that would be a good leader for us and help us to follow Christ faithfully. People have been asking, you know, what's going to happen with this coronavirus thing? Is it going to get extended again? What's going to happen? I really don't know. I hope not. I really hope that this is our last time, but I wouldn't be surprised if people start saying, well, maybe we're just going to wait till June 1st. So I'm not saying you should do this, but I would say maybe it would be good to exert a little bit of, this is an opportunity to exert your desire as people of the Diocese of Duluth. You might consider writing a letter to Father Jim, who is our administrator right now. You would just send it to the diocese and put attention Father Jim Bessonnet, and if you just go on the website, you can find the address. I'm not saying you should do this or that you have to do this, but if you would like to kind of try to say, hey, we would like Mass, we want public Mass, we want the sacraments back, we're willing to take risks, we want to be able to just go back to church, if that's something on your heart, something you would like to try to encourage our leaders to bring it back, maybe writing a letter or having your friends write letters. You know, if suddenly 100 letters showed up at the diocese saying, we want Mass, I would say that would make a difference. You know, so just a thought. Not saying you should or that you can, because if 100 letters come from Crosby, they might say, well, Father Eli, what did you say? And I'm saying, I'm not telling them to do this. I'm just saying maybe that would have an influence. So an idea, a thought. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're taking care of yourselves. And I hope you have a blessed day. Let's pray for our bishops. Pray for our Holy Father. Pray for the time that we're in, that our leaders would make good and wise decisions, always in the best interest of the church and Christ's flock, and not for themselves. God bless you, and take care.